I worked as a telephone operator in Havity Grace, Maryland, shift work with 50 other women.
I'm laying there hearing the sounds of salsa and shouting and dancing and this great New Year's Eve, and I'm laying there sidelined.
I lost 80 pounds, I rode more than 1 million meters, and I transitioned a failing marriage into a fledgling friendship.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Henkin.
And this week on the podcast, three tales about ringing in the new year. Jessica, you know 2025 is going to be
lit. It's going to be lit.
So it is going to be
it's going to be everything. Everything is going to all work out.
All your dreams are going to come true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love this. I love this for us.
If your dreams are nightmares. So this first story is by Rosemary Robinson. And this is a deeply 1970s story.
I love it
so much.
Yeah.
And it's really about, the unexpected that can happen on New Year's Eve. Take a listen.
I'm going to tell you the story of my 21st birthday, which was December 31st, 1973. Yes, I was born on New Year's Eve. That's not a great day to have a birthday, but... And as a little background, I was 4 years out of high school, still living with my parents. I worked as a telephone operator in Havity Grace, Maryland, shift work with 50 other women. And it was very difficult to date back then when you worked with a lot of women and you worked shift work. So I'd had some really bad dating experiences. One guy would call quite often, and we liked the sound of each other's voice. And I said, yeah, I'll come meet you. And he said, well, I'm in the stockade at Aberdeen Proving Ground. I said, well, no. And another date consisted of taking me into a bar while he did a drug deal. Another date neglected to tell me he was married with a child. So after 4 years of that, I just plain gave up. This is it. I'm not dating anymore, and I'm okay with it. I'm not putting myself out there. So it's New Year's Eve. It's my 21st birthday. A girlfriend and I, we went out to the local pizza place. I had my first legal beer, and I was home by 7 o'clock. And I put my pajamas on. I had my bottle of Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill and a bag of Cheetos, and I was in for the night. And the phone rang, and my mother calls up the steps, it's for you. So I come downstairs because, you know, back then the phone was in the kitchen, and the cord was about this long, and there's no privacy. So it was a friend from high school, and he said he was going to a party, and did I want to go with him? I said, no, it's 7 o'clock. You're calling me now? And my mother's standing there going, you're going. You are going. So, you know, you listen to your mom. So I got dressed. I said, okay, I'll go. And I went to this party with a friend, and I didn't know anybody there. The hostess was a very nice person, and she was introducing me to everybody in the room at the party. And she'd say, now, this is my friend Wanda, and this is her boyfriend Ralph, and this is Mary, and she's married to Tim. And I thought, you know, the whole world is couples, right? So then this man walked into the room, and she said, and this is my brother Jim. And there was no and after that. Well, now there is still hope in this world. And it turned out that he was just out of the army, just back from Korea. And back in those days, the first thing you asked was, what kind of a car do you drive? And he had a Triumph TR6 on order. And we were married for 39 years.
So sweet.
I love that.
Yeah.
One of her gentlemen callers was in the stockade at Aberdeen Proving Ground. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So, and that was told a very long time ago at the Creative Alliance in Baltimore.
Which is still thriving.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah. We're so grateful for their support. Okay. Our next story.
Danny Zawadny has a tale for us that it's just particularly vivid. So in all the senses, take a listen.
So it was December of 2014, and I was convinced that I was going to have the best New Year's of my life. Because this New Year's was going to mark the turning of a page and the start of a new chapter in my life. See, just a couple weeks before, I had moved to Nicaragua in Central America, and I was going to be starting a 2-year volunteer experience there. And I was incredibly excited to be learning from and connecting with people from a very different background than my own. But I was also incredibly nervous and anxious because there was a catch, and that catch was I spoke little to zero Spanish. So one of the first experiences I was going to have there was actually traveling to this really rural small town named Tlagartillo up in the northwestern part of the country, where I was going to be spending 10 days at a language school, and I was going to be living with a family there while I did it. So those 10 days could probably best be summed up by calling it like a cross-cultural sitcom, because I was, as pointed out in my intro, the gringo in skinny black pants and Chuck Taylors, just profusely sweating the entire time, completely out of my element in the Central American sun. And I remember just kind of trying to exist around my host family as I tried to learn things and pick up things and desperately wanting to connect with them, but really just kind of sounding more like a 2-year-old than anything. I can remember one morning I woke up and I was going to head out with my host father, Abelio, a man that, as Nicaraguans would say, is bien evangelico, or a very religious man. I was going to be heading out with him to kind of accompany him in the fields that day and just do whatever, help him out with whatever he needed to do. And so I remember him telling me, Daniel, hoy, primero vamos a pasar y atender a las vacas. And I was like, vaca? I think that means mouth. I don't know where this is going, but okay. And so I followed him, and then sure enough, we get to this pen where all of his cows are, and I'm like, I really hope this doesn't mean mouth, because I don't want to know what's going to happen. Luckily, it doesn't. It means cow, and I would continue to mix those words up many more times, don't worry. And the next day, I remember waking up, and we were going to be riding bikes to church, and so we had to ride like 5 miles down this hilly dirt road, and then later I had to explain to my host brother, a 12-year-old, how I broke his bike because there was a roca en la calle and I hit it, and I had to buy him a new bike. The next day, my host brother took me out to the field around back where some of the chavalos, the younger kids in town, were playing soccer, and I remember trying to play with them and a bunch of 12-year-olds taking the ball from me any time I got the ball, and they kept saying, Chele, pasalo, pasalo, Chele. And I was like, does that mean pass to the other team? I'm just going to go with that because I'm not any good anyway. So basically, I spent a number of days just kind of totally butchering the language and making a total fool of myself. But New Year's was coming, and the 31st of December in Lagartillo is an incredibly important day, and that's why I was incredibly excited for it. So we started the day at about 4 in the morning. We got up, and we did this really long hike. It was about a 7-mile hike that commemorates this walk that the townsfolk had to do 30 years before to flee for safety when their town was under attack during Nicaragua's Civil War. So we did this really commemorative hike, and it was this beautiful experience with them, and we come back, and we had this giant community celebration in the middle of town, complete with food and cultural acts and dances and all of this stuff, and it was this really beautiful day of being able to just share in the history of this town. And it was better because I didn't really have to speak much. I just kind of had to be present with them, and that was really beautiful. And then later that night, New Year's Eve, the chavalos again, the younger crowd, but they were of legal age, we're going to be celebrating a New Year's a way that I was a bit more accustomed to the way it's celebrated back here in the United States. And so we, around 9 p.m., went out into the main strip of town, and I'd like you to kind of picture our favorite middle school mixers for a second, but just replace the gymnasium with just like a dirt road. And everyone's pulled some chairs out, some plastic chairs out to sit. And instead of a DJ playing all of the, like, clean versions of the dirty songs that the kids are singing the dirty words to anyway, there's just a bunch of reggaeton and salsa, and there's no clean versions, so it's just everyone's shouting them anyway. And I was definitely the wallflower. I was the one just kind of sitting back because I was having trouble communicating with people, right? But it was also because I had this weird sensation in my stomach. And usually that was manifesting. That entire time it was this mixture of excitement, anticipation, but this time I was a little worried that it was there was a little bit of a stomach bug in there too. So I believe it was right after this this very cute girl asked me to dance and butchered that, that I decided, you know what, I think I'm done. I think I need to check out. I feel really, really bad, and I think my night is over. So I head back to my host family's home, and again, we're in very rural Nicaragua. So indoor plumbing is not a luxury that we got to enjoy there. So I had to do my business before turning in for the night in the outhouse, which, if you've never had that experience, it's basically just a really sweaty thigh workout, which is a lot of fun. I definitely suggest it. So I had to take care of my business, and it was rough, because as I was approaching the outhouse, it was one of those situations, if you've ever had food poisoning or stomach bug, where you've got two openings and you don't know which one it's coming out. But so I try to do my business, and nothing's doing. So I was like, you know what? I've just got to go to sleep. Maybe I'm just tired. Maybe I need to sleep this off. So I go into my host family's home, and I lay down, and I feel utterly defeated because I'm laying there hearing the sounds of salsa and shouting and dancing and this great New Year's Eve, and I'm laying there sidelined. And I'm also hearing the horrible gurgling in my stomach every time I turn to try to get comfortable. And I think, yeah, some New Year's, right? Some New Year's. But around 4:30 in the morning, after really barely getting any sleep, I hear Abelio get up and to start his day, and I think, finally, I can get up and I can use the outhouse. And so I get up out of bed and I start making my way out there, and I see Abelio in the kitchen area, and he turns and looks at me, and I can only imagine what he's thinking at this point, because I'm totally pale, I have bloodshot red eyes, and I'm staggering because I had barely slept. He's like, Gringo got drunk last night. But I didn't. I hadn't had anything because I was worried about how I was feeling. And so he asked me, Daniel, ¿estás bien? And I'm trying to say that, yeah, I'm totally fine. I just need to use the... When all of a sudden I'm on the ground. And Abelio's, he's reaching down and he helps me up to my feet. And I'm kind of coming to and I don't really know what's going on. And he's trying to lead me back into my room when I realize, wow, I just passed out. I haven't passed out in forever. And oh, wow, that knot in my stomach, it's time. It really needs to come out. And so he's trying to lead me back to my room, but I'm like, ah, señor, baño, necesito baño. And I just keep saying baño over again and over because it's one of the only words I actually knew how to say. And then before I know what's going on again, I'm on my back again. And this time I'm looking up and Abelio's on my right side and he's got this really concerned look on his face. And my host mother, Maritza, is on my left side and she's waving her hand trying to get air in my face. And they help me up onto my feet again. And again, I'm trying to come to and I don't really know what's going on, but they're trying to lead me outside of the house. I'm assuming to the outhouse, but I'm like, all of a sudden I feel better. And so I'm like, no, I just need to sit down. I just need to sit down. I'm fine. Don't worry. I'm fine. And so I go back into my room and I sit down on my bed, and it's then that a nice wet slap to the undercarriage informs me that I did not just pass out on their floor. I pooped my pants. What will forever go down in the most literal sense of the hyperbole possible, as the shittiest night of my life. Thank you very much.
What I love about it is that it happened twice.
Yeah, that's the humor.
Yeah. That, well, actually, really, it needed to happen three times for it to be
that's true.
Perfect comedy.
Should we see if he's available to go back and do an encore?
I don't think that family will take him back. I think they will
see him coming and cover everything
no,
with plastic.
No, sir. You are not allowed.
Let's take a short break before our next story. This next storyteller, J. Gavin Heck, I remember when he told this tale at, this was a show we did called Everybody Has a Story, and we did it at the Everyman Theater here in Baltimore, sort of in the wake of the pandemic. And this story is all the things. It really is.
It's
take a listen.
So sweet.
How was your 2022, anybody? Mine, I lost 80 pounds. I rode more than a million meters, and I transitioned a failing marriage into a fledgling friendship. That was a bit much. I don't know about y'all, but I am not particularly good at pandemics or apparently finding long-term romantic partners. In late 2021, my partner wife reminded me she was polyamorous, which is what she did the day before she left her previous spouse for me. So, you know, patterns. And but as I was kind of observing this, I wanted to, like, I knew it was ending, and I kind of wanted just that one atypical happy ending if it was possible, and I'd never really been taught how to do that. So I kind of asked her out loud to focus on, like, generosity and kindness and clarity, and it's really hard to do when you're leaving somebody to do that, so she didn't. But I did, and it was kind of nice. I was able to kind of just lean in on self-care, and I had reached out to some friends at the time, because you get in a relationship and you get in the pandemic, you start talking, stop seeing your old friends. And one of them reminded me of a concept I don't know if you all have heard of. I think it was mentioned earlier without the radical part, but radical self-love. I had not been raised around people that knew anything about self-love at all, much less radical self-love. And my friend said to me, and I've been doing this for a year now, and it kind of works, and I'm going to share it with you. To twice a day, say your I love you, and then say your name out loud, like your first name and your last name. Yeah, thank you. After a while, it just kind of settles into the point where it becomes kind of a daily ritual, and it starts to work, but you have to actually do it. So if you'd like to join me, you can. If you don't, I'm going to do it anyway. And basically, we're going to do a countdown, a 1, 2, 3, and then I love you, first name, last name, yours. And that's it. It's that simple. And when I told another friend about it, she said, I've never said that to myself out loud, and started crying, and now she's doing it also. So I hope that at least one person in this audience walks away from this with this as something you do for yourself, because it's frankly delightful. And I'm going to stop talking about it. Let's do it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I love you, Stoop Stories. I'm really glad to be here to be able to share this, but I'm also going to say it to myself right now. I love you, Gavin Heck. It's something, again, I was never taught growing up. The people around me mostly seemed to not really even like themselves much, so it was a little much to kind of embrace this. It's really hard also to do as a person is leaving you and telling you what's wrong with you ostensibly, but I really wanted to look at the end of this relationship and not feel shame. And I don't know if y'all were raised with shame and fear and guilt as your primary motivators, but I was. And I'm kind of tired of that shit, frankly. So, thank you. It just wasn't working. And yeah, I decided also to kind of make the bold statement on social media where you tell everybody who you are and what you do anymore, that I was no longer going to motivate people or allow myself to be motivated by shame, fear, or guilt, which is also huge once you actually start doing it, because you realize how often you do it. It's been kind of a delightful year. Again, I had all this extra energy of a person leaving me kind of in the way that people leave you, and I didn't want to be angry, and I decided to about 25 years earlier, I'd been on this health kick. I clearly have not been lately, but where I decided to row a million meters. I was in this contest at work, and I did it in about 6 months. And again, this is 25 years ago. I decided in 2022, I had bought the rower, and it was collecting laundry, that I was going to do that in 2022. So last year, I started early, in January, real slow, had the support of Mend Acupuncture and a great therapist from the VA, and just had a biting sense that I really wanted to do this and feel good about something. And so I ended up finishing it in mid-November last year, about a month and a half early. about a month after I got COVID. And, you know, there were moments in this trajectory where it was like, oh, I guess I'm not going to do it for a week or two because I'm, you know, unable to breathe. But, you know, in the end, I think it's a really powerful thing to do. I was lucky enough also just recently to finish a trauma recovery program with the VA, and I'm really getting to the point where I think, you know, after years of not doing it, finally, it just feels good. And I just want to encourage you all as much as possible to lean in on self-care, kindness, love towards yourself, because if you ain't going to do it, I don't know who else is, you know? And thank you.
So say it with me. We have to say, I love, and then put our first and last names. Ready? One, two, three.
I love you. Laura Wexler.
Laura Wexler. That didn't work because now I have all the love. Let's try it again. One, two, three. I love you, Laura Wexler. What did you say? Did you say Jessica Henkin?
I said Jessa Wexler.
Oh, my God.
But it was so sweet that he said stoop first. That was a nice surprise.
Maybe we should do that before every podcast. We should be I Love You Stoop storytelling series.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone would love to hear that.
Yeah, we really would. Okay, before we get out of here, we want to thank you for listening and let you know that at our newly redesigned website, you can type in any kind of search term you want and turn up stories from our almost 20 years,
baby.
And it's really great. So we invite you to do that. You can also find all of our podcasts there. Lots of content to listen to.
Thank you, Aselika Smith, for creating that.
So good.
Website.
So good.
And thank you to Maureen Harvey, our amazing producer, longtime, loyal,
veteran,
beautiful. Smart as heck.
Has never once pooped during a podcast episode.
I mean, that's what we're aware of. We don't know what's happening
in the
studio.
That's true. You're right. All right. We'll see you all soon with more stories from the Stoop.